It was high noon in the valley of the shadow, when the shadows were shot through with light, when Jesus took in that breath and shattered all death with his life. So long, you wages of sin, go on, don't you come back again. I've been raised and redeemed, you've lost all your sting to the victor of the battle. High noon in the valley of the shadow.
Welcome to a special Good Friday edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. That was a clip of Jonathan and Tara Whitley with High Noon by Andrew Peterson. At First EPC, we observe Good Friday with a tenebrae service, or a service of shadows. The service includes an experience of eight of the shadows that Christ endured. There will be seven scripture readings from the Gospel of Mark by Pastor Jonathan and Elders Bill Abernathy, Bruce Bible, and Joe Plemons. And finally, a brief meditation from Pastor Jonathan. The service concludes in silence after the bell tolls seven times to represent the fullness of Christ's sacrifice. The Shadow of the Agony of Spirit, Mark 14, 32 through 42.
And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
The Shadow of Betrayal and Arrest, Mark 14, verses 43 through 50.
And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And then they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled.
The Shadow of Denial, Mark 14, verses 66 through 72.
And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. He went out into the gateway and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them, but again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and he wept. Will you join me in prayer? O Lord, I marvel that thou shouldst become incarnate, be crucified, dead and buried. The sepulcher calls forth my adoring wonder, for it is empty, and thou art risen. The fourfold gospel attests it. The living witnesses prove it. My heart's experience knows it. Give me to die with thee, that I may rise to new life. For I wish to be as dead and buried to sin, to selfishness, to the world, that I might not hear the voice of the charmer, and might be delivered from his lusts. Oh Lord, there is so much ill about me, crucify it. Much flesh within me, mortify it. Purge me from selfishness, the fear of man, the love of approbation, the shame of being thought old-fashioned, the desire to be cultivated or modern. Let me reckon my old life dead because of crucifixion and never feed it as a living thing. Grant me to stand with my dying Savior, to be content to be rejected or be willing to take up unpopular truths and to hold fast despised teachings about death. Help me to be resolute and Christ-contained. Never let me wander from the path of obedience to thy will. Strengthen me for the battles ahead. Give me courage for all the trials and grace for all the joys. Help me to be a happy, holy person, free from every wrong desire, from everything contrary to thy mind. Grant me more and more of the resurrection life. May it rule me. May I walk in its power and be strengthened through its influence.
The Shadow of Accusation, Mark 15, verses 1 through 15.
And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, you have said so. And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
The Shadow of Crucifixion and Humiliation, Mark 15, verses 16 through 32.
And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion, And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and put his own clothes on him. They led him out to crucify him. And they compelled the passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him.
The Shadow of Death, Mark chapter 15, verses 33 through 39.
And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God."
The Shadow of Burial, Mark 15, 42 through 47.
And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have died already, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where he was laid.
The Shadow of Hope, a meditation.
Have you ever seen someone die? Right there before your very eyes, watching their heart pound its last beat and the body become lifeless without any movement or sound. Then the mourning begins, the sobbing tears, loud cries, hopelessness fills the air. Others move on as if nothing had even happened, calloused with hard hearts, unaffected by what had just taken place. You'll never forget that moment. I know I'll never forget the last time I saw a man die. You see, it was supposed to be a day like any other. We had made our preparations, our tools were in the right place, and everything was in order. We were ready for the day to begin. Our orders came at the usual time, except this time we were ordered to report immediately to headquarters. I didn't think anything of it, I assume the others just needed a hand. I informed my men, and we quickly made way toward headquarters. As we approached, we heard shouting coming from within. Everybody was in an uproar. Entering into the courtyard, the roar grew louder and louder. I could hardly hear myself think. We had just passed through the gates when I saw him for the first time. Amidst the whole garrison, there was one man standing firm with dignity, humility, and authority. And the crowd still grew louder. The crowd seemed to be angry with this man. They were so angry that my own skin crawled and I was shaken. Yet this man stood still and calm, not saying a word. His eyes looked deeply into the crowd as if to say, "If only you knew." And the crowd still grew louder. Another guard informed me that this man claimed to be the Son of God and the King of the Jews. I could hardly keep myself from laughing. King of the Jews? Who is this man kidding? His clothes were torn. The Jews themselves were angry with him, and here he was standing before the entire Roman garrison. I asked the guard why this man was here and who he had robbed or killed. The guard nonchalantly answered, "He hasn't killed anyone. He hasn't stolen anything. The Jews don't like him." Then I asked if the man was crazy. "No," the guard replied, "he's very serious and actually kind of friendly." And yet the crowd still grew louder. We had beaten him for nearly an hour when they placed a crown of thorns on his head. We then took turns striking him on the head with a reed. We spit on him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." He just stood there, humbly, not saying a word. And the crowd still grew louder. It was time. We had made our preparations, and now the time had come to fulfill our duty to the Emperor of Rome. And the crowd still grew louder. We placed the cross upon his back. He was weak. I didn't think he'd be able to carry it for long, so I convinced another man to bear his cross. As we made our way up the hill, the crowd lined our path and continued spitting and mocking the so-called King of the Jews, and the crowds still grew louder. We continued up the hill. A great multitude of the people had gathered and were following him, the women mourning and crying for him. He paused, the entire parade with him, and turning to those mourning, he looked at them and advised them, saying, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." And yet the crowd still grew louder. He turned, beginning to move again, and the entire assembly, frozen by his words, moved with him as if he was leading them. And yet the crowd still grew louder. We began to ascend the place of the skull. Two criminals followed right behind him, bearing their crosses. My men led the criminals to their place, and I led him to his place. His cross had been laid on the ground, and the time was drawing near. Faithfully, without even the slightest nudge, he laid down upon his cross, and the crowd grew louder. There's one sound I'll never forget. You should be glad if you've never heard this sound. The sound of steel nails being driven through human flesh. I don't know which is worse, listening to that or hearing the painful screams of the men whose hands and feet are being pierced. But I do know what was worse on that day. Not once did a single word escape from his lips as we pounded and pounded and pounded. He didn't even cry out for mercy. Instead, he lay there bearing the pain, enduring the agony. We slowly raised his cross. People continued to mock him, saying, "Save yourself and come down from the cross." and the crowds grew louder. Darkness filled the land. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. Something powerful was at work that day, and the crowd still grew louder. All at once, as if the whole world stopped amidst the mocking and insults, he cried out in a powerful voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" My God, why have you forsaken me?" And the crowd still grew louder. This man was different than the others. The others could hardly get enough air to breathe, let alone give out a loud cry. And with what little air they had, the others whined and complained. But he did not. He was a powerful man who gave a powerful cry. Something was different about this man. And yet the crowd still grew louder. I stood opposite him for a while. I noticed that he didn't struggle like the others. He seemed calm. And yet the crowd grew louder. I've seen men die before, but I've never seen a man die like he did. Suddenly, as if he had gained the courage, he cried out in a loud voice and breathed his last breath. The power of this man struck me. The earth shook. Rocks split in half. The sun filled with darkness. The temple veil tore in two, and graves were opened. Overcome with fear, I couldn't believe what was happening. More power was shown to me in that moment than I had ever seen before. Could this man be who he said he was? Humbly he took our beatings. Faithfully he went to the cross. And powerfully he breathed his last. Truly, truly this man was the Son of God. And the crowd was silent. Would you pray with me? Father, help us, we pray, to not take for granted what you have done for us. Help us, we pray, to see the terror and the agony and the horror that Jesus went through on our behalf. And I pray that seeing this and knowing this, that our only response would be truly, "This is the Son of God who has come to save his people from their sins." And we thank you, Jesus, that you humbly took the beatings for us. You faithfully went to the cross and were forsaken by your own Father, bearing the full wrath and condemnation of God, so that we can stand righteous. And by your power, you breathed your last and went into the grave with the certain and sure hope that on the third day you would rise again, therefore defeating death and sin. And so we are thankful and hopeful in this moment, this day, a day we remember, a day we rest in the shadows of what you have done, looking forward to the great hope that we have of what is to come. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we trust you.